This is Jack's Journal, an in-depth look at issues that affect you and your community.
Welcome to another episode of Jack's Journal, brought to you by 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's news and talk radio. I'm your host, Shefalika Botnager, and today we're speaking to Dr. Randall Davis, Area Medical Director for Northeast Florida for MedExpress. How are you doing today, Dr. Davis?
Very good, thank you.
Excellent. Well, I'd love to discuss the upcoming holiday season going into the new year and how our listeners can remain healthy with the flu and COVID and all these things going around.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, first off, tell me a little bit about your background and your expertise.
Well, I started off as a physician assistant, graduating from Trevecca Nazarene College back in 1994, if you can imagine that. and ever since then, I've been practicing primary care all the way up until I went to medical school in 1998. I graduated from Ceiba School of Medicine in the Caribbean, actually. And from there, I finished my family practice residency in Evansville, Indiana in 2005. Ever since then, I've been working in the emergency room part-time and in family practice back and forth. And then more recently, since 2013, I've been working in urgent care with MedExpress.
I see. And MedExpress is a urgent care facility here in Northeast Florida.
Yes, in fact, we're not only in Northeast Florida, we're actually all up and down the Eastern Seaboard. We started originally in Morgantown, West Virginia, and it kind of spread from there. And now we're located all up and down the Eastern Seaboard and in several states, all the way out into Texas, too.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, as far as the holiday season that's right on us right now and the upcoming new year, I've heard that there is a rise in influenza. What can you tell me about the flu right now and how it's affecting our population?
Well, in Florida, we've seen a 300% increase in the number of flu cases just in the last 2 months.
My goodness.
Yes, it's tremendous. And in fact, just the last few weeks, we've seen a 33% increase in Alachua County and some of the other counties, such as Hillsborough. I think we're up 24% there, if I'm not mistaken. But according to the statistics of the Florida Health Department, flu is really rampaging through our state right now.
That's right. I've seen that same report from the Florida Health Department and saying that counties like Duval even has had not only a flu increase, but even a COVID rate increase by 30% in the last few weeks since Thanksgiving. So it seems like the flu and COVID are still predominant viruses going on this holiday season into the new year.
Absolutely. And part of that is because they're spread in the same fashion, mostly by droplet spread, which is one of the reasons why the health department recommends that we maintain a certain amount of distance, try not to get too close to people, avoid close contacts, and that sort of behavior if you want to limit the number of spread of the viruses for both of these diseases. Certainly, wearing a mask makes a lot of sense, especially if you're in close quarters, such as, you know, traveling by bus, by plane, in cars with people who may be ill.
I see. And similar to COVID, the flu virus is becoming very easily spread as people are traveling, not just across Florida, but interstates and between states, as well as spending time with family members that maybe they haven't seen in a long time. What are some precautions that our listeners can take to make sure that their holiday season and the upcoming new year isn't something that gets them sick or their loved ones sick?
Sure. Sure. Well, there's some old-time common sense recommendations that we preach year to year to year about this particular situation, and that is maintain a certain amount of distance. Don't be, you know, up in grandma's face, because if you have the flu, you will give it to her. Other things you can do, certainly if you know you're ill and you can and you're able to do so, stay home. Don't be out spreading your illness amongst the population if you can. Sometimes we don't have that option. You know, maybe you're the person who's the primary caregiver for an elderly relative or family member, and you don't have that option, but there are some things you can do in addition to that. As we mentioned earlier, you can wear a mask. If you know you're ill, most certainly you should wear a mask. And if you're not ill and you're going to be around other people who are ill and you know they are, then wear your mask. That's a common sense approach. Other things you can do, certainly frequent hand washing is still the number one preventative measure that you can do to prevent the spread of disease, no matter what it is. And the CDC preaches this over and over again. Now, that includes washing your hands with soap and water, not just running them underneath a tap. And we do recommend you soap up really good and wash your hands for about 20 seconds and then wash off the soap. That is the proper hand washing technique, and make sure that you work the soap in between your fingers and underneath your fingernails when you do so. You can use hand sanitizers as a secondary choice behind soap. It's not as good as soap and water, but it is still very good. And hand sanitizers are also available readily at every grocery store that you'll see, virtually everywhere you go. Just make sure that you coat your hands really good, including underneath your fingernails, and you let the hand sanitizer dry onto your hands before you get around to other people.
I see. Well, I remember when COVID first began, there were PSA commercials even just talking about washing your hands. And it seems like fairly obvious, but it is something that perhaps a lot of people have gotten out of the habit of doing once again, now that we've gotten through some of the worst 2 years of the pandemic. The flu, I'm noticing reports from emergency room physicians saying that the flu is really dominating the ERs right now, and that people are coming in and, you know, they're unsure whether they have the flu or COVID. Can you talk a little bit about some of the differences and symptoms and some of the impacts that flu patients are having on the emergency rooms?
Well, right now in the emergency room, flu is dominating, because the strains of flu that are circulating now actually have somewhat worse symptoms in the majority of patients than do the current strains of COVID that are circulating. And that's why you hear more about the flu currently. The flu is dominated by symptoms such as headache. They have a heavy cough, usually not a productive cough, but if it is productive, it is mostly with a clear sputum. They tend to have pretty good fever, upwards of 100 to 100, 101 and even higher with the current flu that's going around. It is also accompanied by quite a bit of myalgias, body aches and pains, if you will, and back aches, arm aches, leg aches, you know. And in addition to that, people are complaining about painful breathing. Now, what is painful breathing? When you take a deep breath, you tend to feel aches in your rib cage, mostly parasternally on either side of your breastbone. You'll have some tenderness there, and a lot of the people are complaining about pain and palpation across those rib cartilages on either side of the breastbone with the flu. Not that you can't have the same symptoms with COVID. Oftentimes you can, but COVID tends to have more fatigue associated with it than does the flu, less body aches and pains than the flu has, and more of a predominance of headache with the COVID as opposed to the headache that we see with the flu.
I see. My goodness, I didn't realize. I have heard that the flu strains this year are more intense and more aggressive than previous years before. I didn't realize that there was such a potential for pain as well when breathing. Does the flu impact a person's blood oxygen level, like COVID?
It can. We don't tend to see a huge drop in oxygen saturation levels with flu that we see with COVID. However, it is still possible, most particularly with people that are susceptible to that. That would be your patients with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD for short, and other people with chronic lung disorders. Those are the people that are primarily just decimated by flu and COVID in general.
Well, I know that there has been flu vaccines available, and that for many years, most people were accustomed to taking the flu vaccine. Is it too late now that it's December, January time to take a vaccine for the flu?
I'm one of these people that is an eternal optimist, so I will always tell you, take your flu vaccine because it's never too late. The reason being is because flu not only circulates in the wintertime, it circulates in the springtime, it even circulates in the summertime. You've often heard of a summer flu. It does occur. And so the flu vaccine that you get today, although it does take, generally speaking, 2 to 3 weeks for your body to build up an immunity to that, it still makes a lot of sense because the bulk of our flu truly doesn't traditionally hit until January and February. So taking your flu shot today still makes a lot of sense.
I see. And there seems to also be multiple kinds of flu that the virus has, like flu influenza A, H3N2. I'm seeing reports that 80% of the cases are mostly that type of flu, and then roughly 20% of the influenza A, H1N2 are spreading right now. What is the difference, and why is there such a huge influenza A outbreak, so to speak?
A lot of times the reason is because influenza A is labeled that for a reason. Influenza A is the early season flu. That's the one that starts in the fall and tends to go all the way through winter up until late spring. Late spring onward is usually the flu B, and they call it B for a reason. It hits later in the season. And so that's why you're seeing the bulk of the A's right now. As far as the H1 versus the other H-type flus, that kind of depends on what part of the country you're at and what is actually circulating in that particular region. From year to year, those can change, and the CDC tries their best to calculate which ones are going to be circulating in which area of the country. And part of the reason they do that is because that helps them determine what they want to be placed in the vaccines for that year. Right now, we have a quadrivalent vaccine that most people are administering. There's also a trivalent version, but more people are going with the quadrivalent now. And what that means is there's 4 different strains that they're covering for when they give you that immunization. At one time, they only put one in, and then they found that there was more and more circulating around, and so they went to a 2-valent, and then they went to a 3, and now the standard is more of a quadrivalent. So when you get your immunization, you're getting immunized for 4 different strains. So I highly recommend the flu vaccine.
Wow, that's really in-depth. I appreciate the detail in that answer. I was checking out the CDC government websites regarding the flu in these last recent months, November, December, and heading into January, and I'm noticing that they say that roughly 24,000 patients have been admitted into hospitals for the flu in just a single week so far between Thanksgiving and Christmas. I'm wondering, what symptoms would you look out for as a patient to decide whether or not you do have to go to the ER based on your illness?
I'm glad you asked that. And the reason why I say that is because it varies from person to person. Generally speaking, a normal, young, healthy adult who acquires the flu probably will do just fine if they stay home, they take some Tylenol, drink some chicken soup, rest, and, you know, they can weather it out as long as they have a good immune system, which is why we recommend the vaccine, by the way. It boosts your immune system to fight these things off. But if someone comes along and they have, say, COPD, or they have a compromised immune system, they can get really nailed by the flu. And, you know, if you're running a fever of, say, 102+, and you're an adult, then you probably should be heading on to your doctor's office or the emergency room to be evaluated. If you have a cough that is uncontrollable, you can't catch your breath. Everyone's heard of people having coughing jags to where they cough so hard that they pass out.
Oh my goodness.
It literally does happen.
Wow.
You can cough so hard that you literally pass out. If you're having coughing spells that make you lightheaded, that warrants seeing your doctor. That's a common sense approach to illness in general, but particularly with the flu. If you are unable to keep down liquids because maybe you have the version that is causing nausea and vomiting, if you cannot keep down liquids, you should be heading to see your doctor or to see your local emergency room for IV hydration. More people die from dehydration than die from deoxygenation. More people will get dehydrated worldwide from flu and things like that, from the associated diarrhea and not drinking enough fluids, and become weak and die from that, than they necessarily do because they just get hypoxic and die that way. If you become dehydrated, that's a serious issue, and you need to go and get hydrated. That's the important thing right there, because you can die from that just like you can die because you can't breathe.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think that those are definitely two very important things to look out for. If you are short of breath, if you can't keep fluids down, then, if you have any of these pre-existing conditions that could be exacerbated by something like the flu, that is a good reason to go to the emergency room. If people are just simply in need of any kind of medicine, what would you recommend aside from Tylenol? Are there any antiviral medicines that, urgent care clinics like MedExpress could recommend for patients?
Absolutely. Now, the antiviral medicines are a newer class of medicines. A lot of people aren't familiar with those. There are some that have been out for a while and some newer ones. Right now, the standard of care for treating flu tends to be Tamiflu. Now, Tamiflu is an antiviral that you start on the first or the second or third day of your symptomatology. In other words, you have a limited number of days that you can actually start the Tamiflu and actually have it be effective. So what you want to do is when you start feeling like you have the flu, it's a good idea to get in, get checked out to see if you for sure have the flu. And almost every urgent care system will have a flu test that they can do rapidly in their office, and they can tell you very quickly whether you have flu or not. If you're positive for the flu, it makes sense to get on the Tamiflu as soon as possible. And you want to do that in the first through the third days of your symptomatology, because beyond that, the benefit is very limited as far as what you'll get out of the medication itself. These medicines are really neat. What they do is they inhibit replication of the viruses inside your body's cells, and that's why you have the time frame of 1 to 3 days to start the medication, because if you go beyond 3 days, then it's really spread throughout your body already, and there's really no way to limit that spread of virus throughout your body.
I see. That's fascinating. From what I understand, and I'm not a doctor, of course, but I am a science nerd. From what I understand of viruses, they go into the cell and they basically trick the cell into making more of its own self. Like they just replicate within the cell. The cell bursts and then spreads to other cells, where the virus then does the same thing over and over again. So what you're saying is that within the first 3 days of treatment of symptoms of the flu, the virus, there's a chance that medicines can go in and stop that reproduction system. Therefore, the body doesn't become inundated by the flu itself, and there's a chance to stop it from replicating too much. Is that correct?
That is exactly what I'm saying. And that's how your antiviral medications work. And that's why it's key to get in there when you first develop the symptoms. Don't wait until you can't get up and go to actually go to the doctor and expect that Tamiflu will help. there is reason to go to the doctor if you can't function, because, you know, obviously we can still treat your symptoms, and there's a vast array of medications available that will help alleviate your symptoms. There's just not a whole lot we can do to inhibit that viral spread beyond 3 days with the current antiviral medications that are available.
My goodness. I have one last final question before we wrap up our conversation. Just a few facts from the CDC right now. As of the beginning of December, there have been at least 15 million flu viruses cases, 150,000 hospitalizations, and 9,300 deaths from the flu. So this is a serious matter, and this year's flu season does seem to be quite intense. My question to you, and it may be a little silly, however, I'm just curious, is it possible to have the COVID virus and the flu virus at the same time?
It is absolutely possible to have them both. And in fact, I've had patients that were positive for both of them. Thank goodness this is a rare occurrence. And for the vast majority of people, they typically either get one or the other, and they almost never get them together. But it does occur. And in those situations, it can be quite lethal for some people. I'm not saying that it is always going to end in a lethal outcome, because it doesn't in the majority of people, but it's certainly the case if you have COVID and flu, you need to be exceptionally careful, and you need to consider possible hospitalization if your treating physician thinks that's necessary.
I see. Well, thank you so much for your time. I was just wondering if there's anything else you'd like to say to help our listeners stay healthy through the holiday season and into the new year.
Absolutely. Let's remember that COVID is the same type of respiratory spread virus as is flu. They are both spread by droplets. Wearing a mask can definitely help limit the spread of those things. Certainly, you need to get vaccinated with both COVID and flu, if at all possible. It boosts your immune system and helps you to fight these viruses off. They won't necessarily prevent you from getting the viruses, but certainly you'll have far less symptoms if you do get it, and much better outcomes if you are vaccinated than if you're unvaccinated and you acquire these diseases. Other things you can consider is staying home if you're sick, trying not to spread those to other people. Certainly, washing your hands frequently is a great idea, and sanitizers are a great secondary choice. And other than that, get plenty of sleep, eat healthy, treat yourself as you would, you know, just trying to stay as healthy as possible. Get a little vitamin C in your system, maybe a little vitamin D, both of which are known to help boost the immune system. And outside of that, just enjoy yourself, because a positive attitude actually has a positive effect on your immune system too.
I love that. Way to end it on a positive note. Thank you so much for your time, Dr. Randall Davis, Area Medical Director for Northeast Florida at MedExpress. I really appreciate our conversation today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you all for listening to Jack's Journal, brought to you by 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. I'm your host, Shefalika Bhatnagar, and I'd like to thank Dr. Davis once again. I hope everyone has a lovely holiday season, and we will see you again in 2023. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Jack's Journal, a production of News 104.5 WOKV.